Looking for strategies that will help you engage in meaningful conversations with members of the Mormon Church? Well, if so, take a look at Sharing the Good News with Mormons, a new book produced by Harvest House Publishers and edited by Mormonism Research Ministries' Eric Johnson and Sean McDowell. Sharing the Good News with Mormons includes 24 helpful essays from 24 Christian apologists, scholars, and pastors. Pick up your copy at the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore or order directly from mrm.org. Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
What are some of the ways a Latter-day Saint can lose the spirit? Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry, and with me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. We continue looking at books that were given away as Christmas gifts by the First Presidency between the years 1981 and 2017. Today we begin looking at a book that was given away as a Christmas gift in the year 2000. It is titled The Teachings of George Albert Smith. It was edited by Robert and Susan McIntosh, and George Albert Smith was the 8th president of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and for a bit of trivia, he was the last of the Latter-day Saint presidents who had facial hair. But before we get into this book, Eric, why don't you tell our listeners where they can find the quotes that we're going to be citing?
They can go to mrm.org, our website, and in the search engine, type in Christmas book, and the first article to come up contains links to all of the books in the Christmas series that we've been talking about this past month, along with compiled quotes that we have used with the additional quotes from the different books.
Jesus himself said in Mark 2:27 that the Sabbath was made for man, and not the other way around. And we find by reading some of the statements of LDS leaders that there are certain things that members of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints can and cannot do on the Sabbath. Now, of course, Mormons would look at the Sabbath as being Sunday. Technically, if you look at the Old Testament, the Sabbath was Saturday. Christians often refer to Sunday as the Lord's Day, and I'm aware that some Christians do refer to it as a Sabbath as well. Abusing the Sabbath is one of the ways that a member in the LDS Church can lose the spirit, and that is certainly something you do not want to do as a member of the LDS Church. What does this book have to say on pages 108 and 109, Eric?
He says, we lose the spirit when we do not honor the Sabbath. Those who do not honor the Sabbath and keep it holy displease God. Some people appear to think that if they have attended religious meetings or perform some portion of the service required of them on Sunday, they are then at liberty to go to ball games, picture shows, or resorts of various kinds, and still continue to enjoy the favor of the Master. I say to you that if they persist in doing things of that kind, members of the church will lose their faith, and the Spirit of our Heavenly Father will withdraw from them.
And I think the emphasis needs to be on the word will that's used twice in that sentence. Members of the church will lose their faith, and the Spirit of our Heavenly Father will withdraw from them if they abuse the Sabbath. Now, there's been a lot of things that have been said, as I mentioned, on what a Mormon can and cannot do. Spencer Kimball, in his book, The Miracle of Forgiveness, another book that was given away as a Christmas gift in the year 1998, had a lot to say about what a Latter-day Saint can do on the Sabbath. And I might mention, there is disagreement even within Christian circles as to what a Christian can and cannot do. There's not a whole lot written in the Bible, however, folks, so a lot of these prohibitions that anybody might come up with are purely outside of the biblical realm. But what did Spencer Kimball have to say about this subject?
This is found on page 46 under the subheading Sabbath Breaking. Kimball wrote, "We have become a world of Sabbath breakers. On the Sabbath, the lakes are full of boats, the beaches are crowded, the shows have their best attendance, the golf links are dotted with players. The Sabbath is the preferred day for rodeos, conventions, family picnics, and ball games are played on the sacred day. Even the stranger that is within thy gates is pressed into service. Business as usual is the slogan for many, and our holy day has become a holiday. And because so many people treat the day as a holiday, numerous others cater to the wants of the fun lovers and money makers. Sabbath breakers, too, are those who buy commodities or entertainment on the Sabbath, thus encouraging pleasure palaces and business establishments to remain open, which they otherwise would not do. If we buy, sell, trade, or support such on the Lord's Day, we are rebellious as the children of Israel. The dire consequences of whose transgressions against this and other commandments should be a permanent warning to us all.
Given that warning that you just gave from Spencer W. Kimball, could we conclude that if a Latter-day Saint, let's say, goes clothes shopping on Sunday, that they are giving up their celestial exaltation? I mean, if you're displeasing the Lord and the Spirit withdraws from you if you violate what the Mormon leadership has laid down for the membership on this subject, it sounds like you could very well be risking your exaltation for such an infraction.
It sure does, and we have to ask the question, what did Jesus have to say about this issue? It never seems to be the case where Jesus says, oh my goodness, your entire salvation is based on keeping the Sabbath law. And in fact, he angered many of the Jewish leaders. They felt that Jesus had been breaking the Sabbath law. What's interesting is that a lot of the things that Jesus did went against their extra law, not what the Bible actually talks about.
And a good example of that would be in Luke chapter 6.
In Luke chapter 6, Jesus was going through the grain fields with his disciples, and his disciples start to pick heads of grain, rub them in their hands, and eat the kernels. And the Pharisees said, why are you doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath? And then in verse 9, Jesus says to them, I ask you, which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or destroy it? So he went against the ideas that they had of what Sabbath keeping was all about.
Yeah, in other words, they are adding what Mormons seem to condemn, and that includes the commandments of men. And wasn't that one of the things that God the Father and Jesus allegedly told Joseph Smith pertaining to the churches at that time, that they were teaching for doctrines the commandments of men? It sounds like when it comes to this subject that the LDS Church is very much teaching the doctrines of men, making it a penalty so grave that if they violate it, they could be giving up their exaltation.
But Bill, isn't that what religion does? Religion sets up rules and regulations of what you have to do. Listen to what Kimball says on pages 96 and 97 of The Miracle of Forgiveness. Again, a gift given at Christmas by the First Presidency in 1998. This is what Kimball said. The Sabbath is a holy day in which to do worthy and holy things. Abstinence from work and recreation is important, but insufficient. The Sabbath calls for constructive thoughts and acts, and if one merely lounges about doing nothing on the Sabbath, he is breaking it. To observe it, one will be on his knees in prayer, preparing lessons, studying the gospel, meditating, visiting the ill and distressed, sleeping, reading wholesome material, and attending all the meetings of that day to which he is expected. To fail to do these proper things is a transgression on the omission side. Let me add something, Bill. I don't see any Bible verse here to support what Kimball is telling us.
And of course, that should be problematic for us who do place a strong emphasis in the New Testament.
And it's interesting because he says that sleeping is okay, but lounging about doing nothing is not okay. Well, I mean, what if you are trying to get to sleep? Somebody could say, well, you're just lounging around and doing nothing. I suppose a parent might say that to a kid. Well, maybe he's just kind of relaxing if that's the way he does things. On the Sabbath day, the seventh day, when you're supposed to be doing things different than what you do on the other 6 days, why is it the concern of a prophet of God, supposedly, Spencer Kimball, to say that that is wrong?
And it seems that's really the intent of why we had the Sabbath. It was to be a day where you as an individual switch gears. You were not working, doing what you normally did 6 days of the week, and you were just doing something different. But there's another way that a person can lose the Spirit if you're a member of the LDS Church, and this has to do with participation of the sacrament service or the communion service.
Page 95. George Albert Smith writes, "It is observed that men and women who go from year to year without partaking of the Lord's Supper gradually lose the spirit of our Heavenly Father. They forfeit its companionship where they have had opportunity to participate in that blessing, but have failed to take advantage of it."
A couple things here. Notice he refers to the spirit of our Heavenly Father as an it. But it gets even worse than that, Eric, because on page 93, George Albert Smith goes so far as to say how a person is to partake of the sacrament as far as which hand they are supposed to use.
He says, "Our people have been taught to take the sacrament with the right hand. We believe that is appropriate and proper and acceptable to our Father. The sacrament should not be accepted with a gloved hand. Nobody should receive it in that irreverent manner. We should partake of it in humility, with preparation of clean hands and pure hearts, and with a desire to be acceptable to our Father. Then we will receive it worthily and rejoice in the blessing that comes to us by a reason of it."
Now, I can understand partaking of the Lord's Supper with clean hands and a pure heart. I understand that. But when he goes so far as to say that our people have been taught to take the sacrament with the right hand, in other words, folks, not the left hand. Where do we find that in the New Testament? When has that ever been some kind of a prohibition? Again, I go back to the admonition that Joseph Smith claimed he was given by God the Father and Jesus in this alleged first vision that they believe in, where he talks about the churches believing in doctrines that are merely commandments of men. Does this not sound like a commandment of men? Where do we find anywhere in the Bible that it says that when you partake of the communion, or as Mormons call it, the sacrament, it must be done with the right hand? Not only the right hand, but you cannot, probably in this time period, if you're a woman, you're not supposed to have a glove on your hand. For years, women wore gloves to church. It was a part of dressing up. It was a part of the formal attire of going to church. Here he is saying that that isn't even allowed. And how did having a gloved hand partaking of the sacrament become irreverent? Who came up with that decision? Obviously, it had to be one of the men who were running the church, because we don't find anywhere in the Bible that shows that that should not be done. It sounds to me more like a matter of taste than anything else.
Should we look at George Albert Smith as perhaps being the Pharisee of the 20th century?
I think most certainly you could, and I would say that not only would George Albert Smith fall into that category, but certainly a lot of other leaders in the LDS Church who have laid down restrictions that they find themselves uncomfortable with, rather than restrictions that are actually biblical. And we don't find anywhere, as I mentioned, that it says that we are to partake of the communion, or as Mormons call it, the sacrament, with the right hand. There just is no prohibition against taking it with the left hand, according to the Bible.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism.